in the matter of the Jewish folks of Maitreya. Translation of the book by His Divine Grace, Basic Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord is a seer, and the external energy which is seen works as both cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation. O great and fortunate Vidura, this external energy is known as Maya or illusion, and further, through her agency only, is the entire material manifestation made possible. Perfect. The material nature, known as Maya, is both the material and efficient cause of the cosmos. But in the background, the Lord is consciousness for all activities. As in the individual body, consciousness is the source of all energies of the body, so the supreme consciousness of the Lord is the source of all energies of material nature. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:10 as follows. Maya yakshena prakpita suryate sa cha cha charam. Throughout all the energies of material nature, there is the hand of the Supreme Lord as the final superintendent. Due to this supreme cause only, the activities of material nature appear planned and systematic, and all things readily evolve. Lord is the seer, and the external energy which is seen works as both cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation. O greatly fortunate Vidura, this external energy is known as Maya or illusion, and through her agency only is the entire material manifestation made possible. Somehow, by extreme causeless mercy, Maitreya Muni, who no doubt was a very elevated person at the time, he was also a dear friend of Srila Vyasadeva, so was keeping very high saintly company. But he had not evolved to the topmost platform of bhakti yoga. But anyway, by some good fortune, when Lord Krishna was preparing to depart from this universe, Uddhava came forward to take the last darshan and receive last instructions from Krishna. At that time, Maitreya Muni, due to his accumulation of bhakti sukriti and of course his mercy of the Vaishnavas and the Lord, happened to come along. And so also was present when the instructions were spoken to Uddhava. It had been Krishna's desire that Vidura also hear these instructions. And so the instructions were given to Maitreya to pass on to Vidura. At that time, Lord Krishna expanded upon the original Chaturshloki of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is a unlimited description of the loving service to Krishna, of the pastimes of Krishna, of the name and fame of Krishna, the abode of Krishna, is non-different to Krishna and descends from the original abode of Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan. Previously, Krishna had spoken Chaturshloki to Lord Brahma, and a certain degree of understanding had been attained by Lord Brahma from Krishna's impartation of the slokas into his heart. But when he imparted these same shlokas to Uddhava, because Uddhava's much more intimate relationship with Krishna, then he imparted a much deeper, intimate understanding of the Bhagavatam to Uddhava and Maitreya, who was receiving on behalf of Vidura. So in due course of time, when the Lord departed from this world, then Uddhava wandered around and eventually met Vidura on the bank of Yamuna. And they had long discussions about the pastimes of the Lord. But Uddhava didn't wish to usurp the position of Maitreya, who had been appointed to give the last instructions of Krishna to Vidura. So they parted after exchanging loving feelings of separation. And Vidura went on to meet Maitreya on the banks of the Ganga. Vidura's desire was to inquire from Maitreya the intimate aspect of the message which has been left by Lord Krishna, the details of Krishna's pastimes, the details of the loving service of Krishna's devotees towards Krishna. But to show compassion upon the mass of living entities trapped in material nature, he first made some inquiries about the manifestation of the material universes, how the soul is trapped in that unpleasant place, and how it can come to the point of becoming free once again, so it can rise to the platform of love and devotional service. So now Maitreya is actually expanding as given to him by the Krishna in the first two shlokas of the Chaturshloki, on how the universe came about and how actually Krishna is the ultimate source, not only of the material universes, but the spiritual universes, and that he is always present. We can understand that when there is a king, there must be a kingdom. What use would the king be if he did not have a kingdom and subjects, palaces, wealth, so much power from him? So when Krishna says that I existed before the universe came into existence and will exist throughout the duration of the universe and after the universe has wound up, then we can understand that he is talking in terms of not only himself, but all of his associates, his abode, Vaikuntha and Vrindavan, his entire situation, all existed before the presence came about. The body of Krishna is so bright, it is not possible to describe, but it emanates a magnificent light which does not allow any ignorance or darkness to be there. On top of that, the abode of Krishna also emanates fantastic light, and all of the other light from the planets, they also emanate the same fantastic light. Also all of the associates, both internal Shakti and the marginal potency of living entities, they also emanate this fantastic light. In fact, it describes the living entity, the brightness of the living entity, millions of moons, millions of suns cannot be compared to. It's so bright. So this fantastic effulgence is spreading and spreading. And there is no darkness. Of course, in Vrindavan and Dwarka, there are night times by the special arrangement of Yoga Maya, but actually there is no darkness in spiritual. There's no need of sun, of moon, electricity, or any other kind of lighting, because it's naturally brilliant. But the question must arise, that this is fantastic light is spreading everywhere, and that everything present in the spiritual life world is also emanating this fantastic light. And how is it possible that there is a shadow somewhere? Until nature is described like a shadow, a dark patch, thus it's considered to be ignorance. But how is that possible in a place which is full of light? If you have light coming onto something which is also emanating light, you will not be in a shadow. And one portion of the spiritual world is the abode of Sada Shiva. That abode of Sada Shiva is half of it is also emanating a brilliant light, which combined together is called the Brahma Jyoti, along with the light of all of the spiritual planets, living entities, internal Shakti, and topmost of all, Lord Krishna himself. This fantastic light is known as the Brahma Jyoti. So half of the abode of Lord Shiva is also emanating this fantastic fortress. But the other half, we stop. And from time to time, according to its position, it falls a shadow. This is easy enough to understand. Because it is dark, then what comes behind it will be a shadow from the light which is shining from the other side. And that shadow is a Mahatattva. And from that Mahatattva comes into the universe, material nature. It is its own cause, and it produces. So it is both material nature and the cause of material nature. And yet at the same time, of all this completing itself, it's still dependent on the original personality of God, Govinda and Adivarishu, Tanahamayavata. So then the whole thing takes place from time to time, the Mahatattva expands more to material nature, and the ingredients of material nature come together, and Mahavishnu, he glances upon that, and impregnates material nature through the agency of Shambhu, husband of Maya Devi, impregnates living entities into material nature. Otherwise, material nature is just of no use, darkness. And although Maya Devi is conscious and Shambhu are conscious, without a doubt, the energy which is there is just dark. It's totally the opposite of what is in the spiritual. So when the living entities are impregnated, then slowly by the direction of Vishnu, Brahma appears and starts the construction of material nature, forms all different bodies and planets, and living entities who have been trapped in material nature since time immemorial. They wake up as well from the sleep in their impregnated material nature. And where were they left off at the end of the previous cosmic manifestation in their karmic activities? They take up again. When they merge into the body of Mahavishnu, when the total devastation of all the material universes take place, they go into a state of suspended animation, and they just exist. Much like one entering into the ground. And their desires become frozen at that point. But as soon as they are given consciousness again, as soon as they are given a chance to fulfill their desires again, then they take that from where they previously left. Just like a person who is sleeping. When he wakes up in a dreamed state, he immediately remembers who he is, what his activities are, and immediately takes up his occupations. So this is going on and on and on without cessation. This state of ignorance. The boy is divided into tamā, rajā, rajasic, and sattvic. Ignorance is action and goodness. Still, even that goodness is actually considered to be ignorance in comparison to the spiritual. Because it is a dark place, because it is an ignorant place, then whatever is there is simply a very dull reflection of reality. Of course, if you try to reflect something into darkness, what do you have? You won't see anything. But because the consciousness of the Supreme Personality, the Godhead, and the consciousness of the living entities is present there, then they are able to conject the living entities. They are able to conject so many different things. But their conjectures of what they should do, what their activity should be, or even if they start speculating anything about the absolute truth, are simply reflections in darkness. No rules. It cannot be right. So they try their best to enjoy. When they get tired of trying to enjoy, they try their best to speculate about the absolute truth, where they come from, whom they are. And at best they can come to the conclusion, but I'm not going to go there, my God. This is what Maya daily offers to that hard-working soul who undergoes many austerities, tries to be free from her influence. She offers him the ultimate illusion of thinking that I'm one. And that's ultimately he gets in the way. His final destination will be again to come back to man. Here we find in the talks in Maitreya and in Dhaga the opportunity to actually get out of ignorance, get out of the misconception that we have any real connection with this material world. Everything here is illusion. The day I was looking off the balcony at my residence into a tree, and I thought I saw a very small bird which I'd never seen before. But then when I looked a little more closely, it was a leaf. So of course the leaf exists, not of course. But the illusion was that I was thinking it was a bird. So in this way, this is what is going on in the world. And we'll continue, however hard we try. whatever conclusion you come, whomever you come in contact, as long as we're dealing with others who are bound by material. But if we're able to be fortunate now to come in contact with Maitreya and Vidura, come in contact with the Bhagavatam, to come in contact with the Bhagavat personality, pure Vaishnavas, to be able to come in contact with the congregation of Vaishnavas, then it is possible to come in contact with reality, to actually be able to start to see things as they are, to become free from the influence of Maya, free from the influence of Maya. Still, even when we come to that level, until we may study the Bhagavatam, the Gita, other important literatures, we may enter into the chanting of Maha Mantra and other names of the personality of Godhead, into activities of Sadhana Bhakti. But still, we will find that we still somehow are still attached to the material. We're still attached to the show of this mind, senses and body. And inexplicably, even though we hear over and over again, not this body, not this mind, we have nothing to do with these temporary senses and intellect. Still, it's not quite possible to break that attachment. And thus we continue in Namabhasa, Sevabhasa, Sangabhasa, reflection of the Holy Name, reflection of the Bhagavatam, which are all very wonderful. Of course, it's mercy that we've been able to come in contact with the Sadhu, Bhagavatam, the Dhamma, Guru. But because we're still holding on to the darkness, we cannot get the full benefit. Until the eye becomes dimmed with sorrow of love, until that time, a Krishna prayer manifests, even in the minutest degree, then it will not be possible to understand the Shunis associates as they are, to understand the spiritual nature as it is. It will not be possible. Because it's only by this pure devotional service, this intimate love and attachment to Lord Krishna, that one can actually enter into that divine realm, come totally free from this alien place of mind. So we have to see that very carefully. The association of devotees who are actually tasting the Shiva. You have to seek out a proper understanding of the conversation between Maitreya, Maitreya, Vidura, Uddhava, Narayana, and all of the other pure personalities who appear in the pages of the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, we'll be looking for my position of darkness. It will be reflected onto our consciousness of ignorance, and it will be dissipated. Krishna only gives himself to his pure devotees. We'll give Mukti, we'll even give the four kinds of person, pure Krishna prema, that is so there, it is not possible to compare anything to how rare it is. Now we have this opportunity to actually be able to understand the Bhagavatam as it is, previous to the manifestation of Chinanda Kuna Granda, six Goswamis, Madhavendra Puri, previous to the manifestation of these personalities, it was not possible to understand. Now there's a small window of opportunity, 10,000 years. Nothing, even when the Kali Yuga, what to speak of the Chatur Yuga, what to speak of the 1,000 Yugas in the day of Brahma, 365 days of Brahma a year, this time, 100 years, which all take place in a moment of motion. His breathing is going in and out, and in the same type of proportion of Lord Brahma to Mahavishnu, Mahavishnu's time to that in Vaikuntha is similar. Just a moment. Even though he produces the universe millions and billions of times, just a moment on Bhagavan. And so on and so on as you enter deeper and deeper into the spiritual world. So this rare opportunity is not possible to understand. But somehow in this moment of a moment of a moment, so many great personalities come from Goloka Vrindavan. Sainam Sankatan, the Loka Premadan, this Bhagavatam, the Loka Premadan, Srila Prabhupada, the Loka Premadan. They have come from Goloka to give Goloka, to give the mood of Goloka, to give the Loka of Goloka, Radha Krishna. Cannot waste that time speculating. Is it like this? Is it like that? To simply look for ourselves, very honest. Am I still in Maya? Is ignorance still dancing within my consciousness? Even though I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Even though I'm reading Bhagavatam, worshipping Tulsidevi, taking the Lord's Mahaprasad, associating with the Vaishnavas, engaging in the Sankirtan, even though, why do I still find lamentation in my heart? Why do I still find ignorance? Because we're not taking the full opportunity of mercy. Dharma Dhammam, Sadhya Dhammam. It has to be full surrender. It's not a question of giving up this and that, which do not belong to us anyway. It's not a question of following false austerities of trying control our tongue, mind, belly, genital. Yes, in the beginning of devotional services have some degree of help to free us from the modes of materialness. They won't give Krishna free because they cause their own illusion. Thinking, oh, now I'm in control of my senses. Now I know so much knowledge. I've read so many books, I can quote so many stories, I can describe so many things. And yet still, the predominant situation of our consciousness is high. have to cross from the state of ignorance into our natural position of nitya Krishnas. Living entity is naturally fully Krishna conscious. You can't make yourself Krishna conscious because you are fully Krishna conscious. You are an eternal servant of Krishna. Touchstone touches, iron turns to gold. It doesn't need any extra endeavor by anyone. If it is a genuine touchstone, turns iron to gold. Problem is that the touchstone and the iron are both unconscious objects. So there is no resistance by the iron. Pure devotee of the Lord, Nitya Siddha, so much more powerful than that touchstone, that by coming in contact, love of mantra, the smallest possible measurement of time, of contact, with such personality is sufficient. To you all beings covering the human system. You can take up this natural position of Krishna's source. But there is resistance there. If there is not willingness to fully surrender to that, thinking, oh, I don't know, but fully surrender this, is the right thing, is I'm going to be happy there, I'm going to lose so many things. And thus, fighting against our own good welfare. And that same personality, that Mahabhagavata, such as Srila Prabhupada, Srila Goswami, who in one moment, can transform living entity back to its original position. Due to that resistance, they have to come into this material world and think up of so many ways how to engage different entities, how to encourage them to please come forward and serve. But said it takes them so many pints of blood to empower these beings, make these wonderful buildings, try to convince us of our own best welfare. Prabhupada was asking us in London that who is the most foolish person, who is the biggest mudra? After a few attempts to answer, he said, no, you people, my own disciples, because I'm telling you again and again to this surrender to Krishna. It's for your best welfare. Take up this Krishna consciousness and eternally be in eternal service of Radha Mata. No, such mudras do not do it. So I have to think up so many activities for you to do to keep you out of total bliss. So when in due course of time you decide, take up the full service of God. Rupa Goswami, the power of Bhakti, Rasana Kasim, Nectar Devotion, Jvala Nirvani, Lalita Madhava, so on. To try and encourage living entities, you please come back to your constitutional position. It is the perfect position for you. He's there in the spiritual world of Rukmanjali. Serving Radha and Krishna in the most intimate situations. And yet he came into this world, took on so many difficulties, simply tried to convince living entities But this is your natural position to also be service. Look at the austerities which our Srila Prabhupada went through. And yet why? Could have just stayed there in Goloka. But he came here for our benefit to say, no, come out of this speech. Take up your constitutional position. And thus he had to go through so many austerities, so much hard work to try to convince us of our own best work. Holy great personalities coming from the spiritual world into this dark, cold, alien place. That's horrible. And even Krishna, the screaming Jaya, is also coming along with us. This is one in the meaning that you can forget Krishna. Krishna will never forget you. Whatever you do, you stay so much more anxious than we are for us to come back to God. Come back to His loving service. Because He knows that that is the only place where you can be fully happy. He wants to try to be the enjoyer, he wanted to try to be the controller, and he'd given all the facility for us to attempt. This is how kind he is from the beginning. All facility, and our Papa Lord also to be your constant advisor, even in your activities, knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Forgetfulness comes from you. At every moment, whatever knowledge we have, whatever remembrance we have, whatever forgetfulness we have, it's coming from Him. Otherwise, we couldn't even remember how to move our hand, how to go to the toilet, how to put the food in our mouth. This is how merciful, how much love Krishna's associates have for the living entities. Now we have to try, with the little bit of knowledge we have gained, a little bit of inspiration we have gained, to try to appreciate that, to try to reciprocate it. That loving mood that they have for me, that causes compassion. And as soon as we are able to start reciprocating, as soon as we are able to properly start appreciating, and as soon as we start actually desiring to enter into the pure service of Krishna, then it will come about. Simply we have to desire Krishna. Not some other complicated thing. If I can't understand the Bhagavatam inside out, if I can't chant the mantras perfectly, if I can't do this or do that, then how is it possible? No. There is no bar. There is no place where the force of mercy cannot descend. You simply have to be able to receive. Simply have to be qualified recipients of that mercy. Are there any questions? As soon as the curtain of ignorance, a video is lifted, we have to learn. To learn not the surrender, but the mood of surrender. As soon as we start contemplating and surrender on sacrifice and giving up, then we relate it back to what we already know. Let me give up this, let me give up that. Oh, I've got this money, or I've got this, I've got that. Oh, I like eating a lot, so I'll eat less. Everything we bring back to our contaminated consciousness. We have to learn the mood of spirit. That who it is who has to surrender. Not this body or mind or anything which is connected to this. But myself, living entity. So once again, it's an invocation here. This engaged me again in your service. I made a big mistake. I wanted to be equal to you. What an offense. Even Krishna does not take that offense so seriously. But all the other devotees, they appalled. But who is this personality who wants to take Krishna's position? And due to this offense, one is covered in deep wounds. Janada is to you. Have to come to that level. Have to understand what that level is, transcendental level, to do with myself, the soul, surrendering to the spirit, with the aid of all of the magnanimous other servants. Shumabhavatam ki